Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Trials, sports and cultural events are planned by the government here to see how viable they are. But how have such events gone in the UK? Well, a trial programme of events included the FA Club Final at Wembley and Club Nights in Liverpool. The initial trial is just completed and reports today indicate just 15 positive COVID-19 cases among almost 60,000 people who participated. Our reporter Vincent McAvinney joins us now, and I'll also be getting analysis in a moment from Professor James McInerney, head of the School of Life Sciences at the University of Nottingham. Vincent, I'll come to yourself first. Can you just tell us briefly how the trial programme worked?
Well, a number of events were carried out and there were scientific teams monitoring them over the past couple of weeks. So as you mentioned there, some of them were the FA Cup final at Wembley. It obviously wasn't a maximum crowd capacity, but that was the biggest one with 21,000 people. Also events like the Brit Awards, which are indoors in the O2 Arena. That was 4,000 people in what's normally a 25,000 capacity arena. And so everyone that was attending those events had to be tested beforehand to make sure that they didn't have COVID. And then there was studies going on whilst they were at the event. So they were able to move around freely. They didn't have to socially distance or wear masks. People attending the Brits, for instance, which I was covering, they could drink and enjoy themselves. That was frontline workers. And then there was follow-ups to see whether or not there were any cases as a result of that. So this was all a trial to see just how soon the UK and its vaccination programme would be able to start lifting some of the restrictions. The current plan is that at the end of June, the final set of restrictions will be lifted and life will effectively go back to normal. So this study suggests that with only 15 cases out of the 60,000 people that took part, that is in line. If you look at the country at the moment, you have about 22 infections per 100,000 people. That's in line with the normal population. And so it seems that in-person large events can go back now from the summer.
And is there a chance further positive cases could emerge from those events? Because some of them took place very recently. Is there possible people are not yet showing symptoms or not yet testing positive, but may yet?
I mean, potentially the final event was on the 16th of May. That was the Liverpool outdoor cinema event. And the FA Cup final was on the 15th. So, I mean, we're now at the period really about 10 days later, 8-9 days later, where we should be seeing those people. If they didn't have symptoms, they would be probably symptomatic now, or they might be completely asymptomatic. But it does suggest really on the basis of this that these events can go ahead again. But the problem is confidence. People are still wary about mixing in large crowds. That's something I've noticed in the past week with the latest set of restrictions lifting. People still, when they went out at the weekend, feeling uneasy. And the high street as well. We've been able to shop for about a month, over a month now, or 5 weeks or so in non-essential stores. But the high street foot traffic is down around 30% on where it was this time in 2019, a survey today has shown. So It is all about the confidence as well.
You mentioned Boris Johnson with his plans to lift restrictions on June 21st to return almost to normal. Would that mean then, for example, for big events, that we could see full football stadiums again, full concerts?
That is what the rules are saying. I mean, the government is still, you know, it is reviewing what is happening with the Indian variant. We will have a review about the 13th, 14th of June, where they will say whether or not that can then go ahead on the 21st. But the government is pretty much saying that as long as they can continue to contain the Indian variant, as long as the vaccination program is running as effectively as it is now, and, you know, we think that this week, it's at 32 at the moment, everyone over 30, we think from the end of the week we'll be able to sign up, and then possibly moving into the 20-year-old cohorts from at the end of next week, that the government seems to be full steam ahead on getting the summer open and getting people out and about.
All right, well, thank you for joining us with that update. That's reporter Vincent McAvinney. And as I said, we're also joined now by Professor James McInerney. And I might get, James, first of all, your reaction to those initial results from the trial events today.
So I think those results are probably about as good as you could possibly have expected. The fact that there's been no surge after them is good news. I think the devil will be in the detail. I think we need to know what the testing regime was like and just maybe a little bit more detail on that. But if the testing regime was good, then that would be a good thing. But I think you actually really do have to look at these results because they're from a particular time. Even though it's only a couple of weeks ago, the new variant B1617 has really started to increase in frequency, and it's quite a different virus to B117, which has been the dominant one up to now.
And can you talk to us a little bit more about that then, the Indian variant, or as you say, the B1617.2 variant? Do you think that the growing number of those cases should cause Boris Johnson to pause before considering opening and going back to normal, as Vincent put it, or almost back to normal from June 21st?
You certainly have to just keep an eye on this, and you have to keep an eye on this virus anyway. But there's a very, very good testing and tracing system here. But yes, you'd have to keep an eye on it. It has characteristics that are worrying. It's got a doubling frequency, that is to say, the doubling of numbers that we detect about every 4 or 5 days, and that's enormous. And the rate at which it's growing is about twice as fast as the Kent variant. So that means that it's a proper variant of concern, and there's a bit less protection from the vaccines after two doses, but quite a lot less. After just one dose. So it's a properly different kind of virus, and it's certainly one of concern. And whether you could have these indoor events with that virus sort of circulating, that would be a question now as well for everyone. But again, you can monitor things, you can test things, you can do PCR testing and lateral flow testing, and you can keep an eye on these things. Mm. And as long as you're prepared to react quickly if it looks horrible, then you can sort of proceed.
I might ask you about the Public Health England study that was released over the weekend, and it did contain some good news in that it found that both AstraZeneca and Pfizer are effective against the variant. But as you mentioned there, it also showed that there was a significant difference in the efficacy between the first and the second dose. And they were looking at an efficacy of only 33% against the Indian variant after the first dose of both vaccines. That would make a lot of people pause, I think, particularly... certainly, I think in the UK, but also here in Ireland, because AstraZeneca is being given at an interval of 12 weeks.
Yes.
And a lot of people in their 60s would only have had one dose of AstraZeneca at this point. That means then they only have 33% protection against the Indian variant.
Only 33% of people appear to be protected after the first one. Or this is for symptomatic COVID. So that's the reduction. But after the second one, the efficacy is really quite good. It's a bit down on what we've seen for earlier variants, but it's quite good. So overall, it's not a fantastic story, really, with so many people here in the UK just having one jab. Mm. That does mean that we're seeing the result we're seeing, which is that it's doubling every 4 or 5 days. And so that's the worry. And the worry is that the current... the events that you just saw, the one that we just reported on here, right, that happened at a time when the virus was at a very, very low incidence anyway. And now you've got one that's creeping back up and creeping back up pretty quickly, and that it's more transmissible, and the vaccines are not doing quite as good a job. So there's a bit of a race between vaccination and variants right now on this one.
Is there an argument for decreasing the interval between the first and second dose on that basis?
There might be. There is a feeling that certainly for the AstraZeneca vaccine that a slightly larger space between the doses is better compared to the Pfizer one. But here in the UK, I actually have gotten the AstraZeneca vaccine mid-March, and I still haven't gotten the second jab. So it's quite a big space. I don't know if the government will change that to shorten it down, but some people are arguing that might be a good idea. And that's probably the major difference difference between the UK and Ireland is in the UK, single dose was given out and the second dose was delayed quite a bit, whereas in Ireland, the doses seem to be closer together. So whether the two countries would be the same in terms of the spread of B1617, I think remains to be seen.
Mm. Just finally then, James, given everything that you're talking about there with the Indian variant doubling very quickly in the UK, from an Irish perspective, do you think there's any argument, any point in looking at mandatory hotel quarantine for travellers from the UK?
Well, I mean, viruses don't come in on the air. They do come in through airports and through ferry ports. I think you've got to look at the full list of things that are available to you and see what, you know, what collection of restrictions you want, and whether one of those is mandatory hotel quarantine. I think it has to come into the game. You know, as somebody that lives in the UK, I would obviously hope it doesn't, but at the same time, if that's a safer thing to do, then the best thing is to just keep a watchful eye on it and don't rule it out.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening, Professor James McInerney from the University of Nottingham. We'll take a break.